This is Brian Kinsey. I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola, and I'm delighted that you're listening to our podcast, and I hope it is a blessing to your life. Please send us an email at firstpent.org if you have a prayer request or would like a Bible study. Thank you for listening. That honor. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 16. Now, I want to present to you a principle, a truth, a concept. That when you come to God, when you approach God, you have an assurance and a confidence that the answer is always going to be the same. If you come to Him with your need, with your hurt, with your pain, He's already predetermined what He's going to do. You can count on it. You can anchor your soul to it, because He said it in His counsels of old what He's going to do if you come to Him. Now, you have to come to Him the right way. See, it's the right way that you come to Him, but if you come to Him in the right way every time. You know, there's some people that you don't know how they're going to respond to you, and you just hate to even talk to them because from one day to the next, you don't know how they're going to act. Anybody like that? Anybody got, oh yeah, oh, go ahead, lift your hand there. You know, you happen to be not a morning person. And so if somebody asks you a certain thing in the morning before coffee, it's like they're taking their life into their hands. Now, some people change by the hour. You know, if you meet them at noon, you don't want to ask them then. If you meet them in the afternoon, you don't want to ask them. It's just the way they are. But I'm so glad God's not that moody. Oh, I'm so glad that whether it's morning, noon, or night, He's always the same. So Isaiah 41, 16, we'll start there. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You're going to rejoice in the Lord, and you're going to glory in the Holy One of Israel. For when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. And I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. So I'm not saying this about God. God did this. And He created it. He made it this way. And I'm just telling you how He made it. And so you can count on it today. Because I want to take you to verse 18. He said, I will open rivers. And it's just one. I will. I will. I will. I will. I will. So what's God going to say to you if you come to me, to Him and say, I seek water, I need salvation. I will. I need your help. I will. I need deliverance. I will. If you worship Him today, and though you can't even articulate a word because your tongue faileth for thirst, but you seek water, I will. I'll open up a way. I'll help you. I will. Remember when that leper came to Jesus and said, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. You remember when Jesus responded to him? That wasn't just a nice little term that he used, because Jesus never did anything by random or by accident. When he said, I will, he activated every covenant I will of the Old Testament and brought it into the New Testament. I just want to know, is anybody ready to have some church up in here? I will. I will. I need salvation. Can God help me? He will. He will. And Jesus wants to minister this and just nail it down into your spirit so that you have confidence in God today and assurance that if you come to him, he will help you. God bless you. You may be seated. Notice in verse 18 that God says, I will, twice. And in that respect, this verse is in harmony with the rest of the chapter and with the nature of God in salvation. He says, in all of this chapter, I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. I will help you. I will take you by the right hand. I will make you. Everything he says is precious, but these I wills are powerful. I receive strength from them. There are the I wills of Psalms. If you go back to the book of Psalms and you begin to read and study Psalms, and I do oftentimes just pick different Psalms to study and to learn, and there's such a long list of I wills in the Psalms, and every one of them are still in action in the New Testament. And just consider the I wills of Jesus and all the times he said, I will, a good many of them. And it's so powerful. These are precious things, deep things, and they should minister comfort and strength to the people of God. I don't understand people who don't come to God when they're in trouble and they even know God, but they don't come to him because they feel like they failed him, or that they are not worthy, or that they're not qualified, or that they don't measure up, or they're not like all of the what they perceive to be super spiritual people that have been in the church for 153 years. But you see, I've been in the church all my life, and the enemy wants to put this image in front of you that you can't attain to that. Well, they can't either, because I know them as well as I know you, and their life's not perfect, and neither is yours. So I don't think you need to allow that to be a hindrance to you when you come to God today. I think no matter what your trouble is, you ought to bring it to the Lord. Now, you might say, I will, but that's a feeble at best. But it's his prerogative, his divine sovereign right to say, I will. It is an I will that is spoken after he has taken counsel with himself. James said, known unto God are all the works from the beginning of the world. He knew from the start exactly how he was going to respond to you. It's not something that he does on the fly. It's not something that he said, well, I feel a rush of emotion and they really seem to be interested. I think I'll help them today. But tomorrow you come to him and he's silent, and the heavens are brass and there's no answer from the Lord. I don't believe that my God is like that. We say I will in a hurry, and we have to repent afterwards. We get all excited, and the kids come up to you and they say, Papa, can we do this? And say, we say yes, and then we remember, oh God, I shouldn't have said yes. And then they say, you promised. And they just, you know, you just really got to go do what you said you were going to do. And you really were sorry afterwards. But I'm so glad that God doesn't speak these things under compulsion. Nobody's persuading him to say this. God never speaks in a hurry. He's not under some kind of emotional excitement. There's not some great choir going on in the heavenlies to where he feels a rush of emotion. He said, well, today day, on this particular day, I think that I will bless First Pentecostal Church, and I think I'll do it because I feel good today. I'm glad God doesn't feel good one day and feel bad the next, because we'd be in trouble. I'm glad that he doesn't decide and say, well, I'm in a bad mood, I'm not going to let the sun come up today. I think I'll stop it right where it's at, and I think I'll just stop the entire universe. I'm so glad God doesn't do that. He doesn't think like you. It's going to come up every morning, and it's going to set every day. That's just the way God put it into action. And just like he decreed the heavens, he has decreed his I will of salvation. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will bless you. I will deliver you. I will restore you. I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that there's not room to receive it. I will. I'm telling you, my God will perform it. And it's not just simply something that we talk about. The omnipotence of God is behind it. The omniscience and all-wise God is behind it. He promised it, and he will do it. God cannot lie. He will do what he said he will do. Numbers 23:19. I don't think you ought to approach God for your healing with any other thing but the assurance that he said, I will heal you. And that we are already, through Calvary's cross and through the stripes placed on his back, we are already healed. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Why do you worship in such a way, tentatively, as if God would not receive you? You've been in the church for 20 years, and yet you still are tentative with God, as if he will not receive you because maybe you didn't do everything just right this week. Maybe you woke up on the wrong side of the bed yesterday. Maybe you need an attitude adjustment. I don't know what it is, but my God's covenant is not that unstable. God's not up and down and all over the page like you are as a human being in your emotions. But my God is constant. He is fixed. He is a continual help. He is a present help. He's not a tomorrow help, not a yesterday help, and can't get to you today because I'm too busy with Mars or Venus is out of orbit and I got to straighten that up. I'm telling you, my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will bless you. If you worship God today, he will bless you. If you repent today, he will forgive you. He will do it. You don't have to wait. You don't have to figure it out. You just have to act on it. Hath he spoken? Shall he not make it good? Behold, I've received commandment to bless. And he hath blessed. And listen to me. Balaam cannot reverse it. Aren't you glad that I don't care if everybody in this room is in a bad mood? Not one person can reverse this. You can't stop it. You can't change it. You can't alter it. For there is nothing too hard for God. Well, my situation's too difficult. I'm different because I failed God this way, or I failed God that way, or he told me to do this and I didn't do it, and now my life's a mess. Come on back to him. When the poor and needy seek water and their tongue faileth for thirst, I will open up rivers, springs, wells. I'll do whatever I gotta do. My. I just wish somebody would act like you really got what you say you got and believe what you say you believe. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. You can show loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense their iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them, the great, mighty God, the Lord of hosts. In other words, God has the prerogative to do it any way he wants to. Great in counsel. He didn't just off all of a sudden decide he's going to save somebody here and fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. He's great in counsel. He took counsel of old. He said, I'm going to fix this from the beginning, and all you got to do is come to me the right way. And he told us in Isaiah what the right way is. Some of you are too proud. You need to be poor and needy. Well, I don't understand why I need the Holy Ghost. That's why you ain't gonna get it. But as soon as you say, I need Jesus, I need the Holy Ghost, that's why you're not gonna get it, because you don't think you need anything. The problem with Laodicea is not that they were bad people. They had need of nothing. Because if you don't have a need, what you doing here? Go to Krispy Kreme. But I still need him today. I can't live without him. I need another touch. I need another blessing. Hallelujah. Mighty in work. God is mighty in this house. Fear and doubt will vanish when you remember that all things are possible with him. Mark 9:23, consider it. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. When God says, I will, it's been sealed with his immutability. That means he doesn't change with the times or the seasons. He doesn't check with the popular opinion poll. He doesn't check with the committees of any church anywhere that I know of and decide whether or not today, well, I think I'll save you, but you're a little bit too bad. I think I'll make you wait and hang you out to dry for a little while. And I know that we like to pick about it in that some people are so bad you want to hold them under while they're in the baptismal until you see bubbles come up. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise God. Repent now. But that's only, we just joke about that. But God is not in that kind of state. If he says he can forgive your sins, he went to a cross to purchase it. And there's not enough devils in hell that can hold your past against you. And I know we're in the day of Facebook. And we're in the day of Twitter, where everything's in the digital world and in the cloud, and nothing is ever forgotten or erased totally, and it's always there. And we're living in a world that won't forget anything. They want to remember everything, and they want to hold every offense in their heart. But I thank God that there is deliverance in Jesus Christ. I thank God. He said, this thing has gone out of my mouth and it shall not be reversed. You can depend on this. If you come to him today, he will save you. If you walk up here, he will heal you. He's too perfect to change. He's too perfect and he cannot change. Now I know that changeable people, and we're changeable, we can change from worse to better, in which case we were not perfect before. And of course, we know that, but God can't change from worse to better. He's not improving. See, God's not trying to come up with a better plan. He's not trying to devise a new way of doing it. As a matter of fact, we don't need a new way for you to be saved. The old way works just fine. It's just you got to come the right way. That's all you got to do. God has not changed his way. In all of these years, you can still repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost. And God's not changing from better to worse, in which case he will not be perfect afterwards. He changes to a worse state. But God, being always perfect, is always the same, never withdrawing his word, never altering his purpose. It's the unfailing, unchanging word of God. You can hang everything in your life on what he says. Because everything else in this world will fail, but this book will not fail. God is eternally faithful. That means he is able to take his eternal wisdom and counsel and put it into action. It works in even in your trials. God's people may be hungry and thirsty, and their anxiety may be great, but God can feed you. If you'll seek water and there is none, he'll open up rivers in the high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. Our God is a providential God. We call him Jehovah Jireh, according to what the Lord spoke to Abraham and the revelation that he received whenever he recovered the ram from the thicket in order to take the place of Isaac so they could sacrifice the ram instead of his son unto the Lord. Many of his children have been brought to their last penny and their last piece of bread, but God provided. Remember the widow of Zarephath who had nothing left but a little meal and a little oil. And when the prophet came to her, yet the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. Remember when Elijah was at the brook Cherith and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. Perhaps no miracle will be wrought for you, but my God can still providentially take care of his people. And somebody needs to stand up with this assurance that the answer's gonna be the same. I will help you. I feel so weak today. That's a good place to be, because if you're needy, it's when you think you've got it all together and you don't need nothing. That's when you're in trouble. But I need you, Jesus. I hadn't been as good today. Hallelujah. I know you sing that little Santa Claus song. He knows whether you've been naughty or nice. That's what the brothers told David when he came out to the battle to bring him cheese and bread, ham sandwich. Well, it wasn't ham, praise God. Wasn't ham for sure. Bread and cheese to the battle. They say, we know the naughtiness of your heart. Yeah. He knows whether you've been naughty or nice, because he don't like spectators hiding in the caves, not trusting in his word. I wish somebody would just in their spirit stand up and plead these promises and trust in the Lord that he will do good so you can dwell in the land and you shall be fed. I wish somebody would stand up and says he dwells on high. His place of defense shall be given to those. His water shall be sure. And he said, I will. You say, well, what if it doesn't happen the first time? Go back again. What if I don't see the cloud in the sky? Go back again. Come up here again. Keep coming. Keep worshiping. I'm not going to stop worshiping. I worshiped yesterday. I'm going to do it today. Why? Because he will bless. He will save. He will heal. I know there's times when you can't find any joy and there's no hope anywhere, and you look to your own heart and it seems so dry. You can't even laugh at anybody's joke. You can't even smile in church. I mean, in one place in the world you ought to be able to smile is at church. But you can't even smile now because there's no tongue for singing and there's no mouth for laughter and there's no joy in your heart. But God can do things great to deliver you. He ought to put some joy back in your heart. He said, I will do it. I will bless my people and I will give them joy. And your joy is going to be experienced by the goodness of the Lord. Now, in verse 18 of Isaiah 41, there are four words that he uses and relates them to water. Everything had been dry before, and there was no water for the thirsty to drink. But now he uses four different words: rivers, fountains, pools, and springs of water. Now, I like that because all of these four words refer to a different way God can bless and help and deliver you. They all come from God, but I will open rivers in high places. That's the first place. It comes directly from the Lord. You don't know how it got there. Nobody said anything. Nobody did anything. But all of a sudden, you're sitting in a church service, minding your own business, preparing what you're going to do tomorrow, or sleeping through the service because you didn't get enough rest last night because you stayed up too late doing crazy stuff. But at least you're here. And all of a sudden, you just came to church to get somebody off your back. They invited you, so finally, I need to go get them off my back so I don't have to come anymore. So you're here. Praise the Lord. And then they start to singing about Jesus. He's all right. They start blessing the Lord. And all of a sudden, somebody starts shouting over here and standing up over there. And you get scared and you wonder, these people are nuts. These people have lost their mind. No, they haven't. They're poor. They're needy. And they seek water. But all of a sudden, in the high place, a river starts flowing down, and you don't even know why you're feeling it, but you got chill bumps all over you. And you're saying, what is this? It starts with a trickle, but then before you know it, it's waters to swim in. There's an abundance. And you feel a tug on your heart, and then all of a sudden, you start clapping your hands, and you don't even know why. Woo! You better watch that. The Holy Ghost liable to get all over you, and you find out that everything I'm preaching is true, because my God gives a sure response. See, I'm not even concerned about whether God's going to respond to me correctly. I just need to find out, can I come to him correctly? See, he's already predetermined it in his counsels of old, how he's going to respond to me if I come to him. He's God. He can do what he wants. He decreed it from old. He said it in his covenant. I'm already assured of the response. I just have to get myself to do the right thing, and it'll work. But see, sometimes it doesn't work with the rivers coming out of the high place. Sometimes it is fountains, which can be rendered wells. Wells are places to which people go regularly for water. Not only is it that great, glorious, powerful experience that we get in a church service, we can have a well that is dug in the valley. Where we can draw water every single day. Now, how many of you have been serving God for more than 10 years? There ought not be a day that you don't drink from that well. How many of you have been serving God for more than 5 years? You ought to be able to drink from that well every day. There ought not be any moment in your life where you're disconnected from that well. The only thing that can disconnect you is you don't approach it right. You don't have the bucket. You don't have any joy. But if you ever get that joy, if you ever get that joy, listen, church, I'm not going to force you to come to this altar and worship the Lord. I'm not going to force anybody to do anything against their will. You don't want to worship God. You don't want to touch from God. You sit there and dry up. But if you are poor and needy, then you ought to approach him with the right kind of joy. You ought not have any pressure from this pulpit. It ought to flow out of you. Quit blaming the preacher. He didn't preach it good enough. He didn't say it. I'm telling you, grace has already predetermined how God will respond to you. He's going to find wells in the midst of the valley. But I'm walking through a valley, but that don't disconnect you from the well. The water can't be stopped just because you're walking through a valley. But I can't even pray. I can't even worship hardly. I can't even lift my hands. Some of you can't even lift your head in church. That's a shame. You know, you've been in church all of your life and you still can't lift your head in church. What is up with that? I'm telling you, that is not the will of God. You're beat down. You're beating yourself up. Quit beating yourself up. When Jesus died on the cross to save you, you are His. I was thirsty, but I went to the house of the Lord and I received from the well of salvation. And He also said, I'm going to make the wilderness a pool of water. Here's the idea of overflowing. It's not just going to stay in the well. It's not just going to come into the river. It's going to spill over. And while you're walking in the wilderness, you're going to actually be walking through the water. It's going to be everywhere. My God, water everywhere. I thought it was just coming down from the river. I was in the choir and the choir was singing and the power of God came on me and I felt the Holy Ghost and oh, it was so wonderful. And then every day I go to my little well and I get a little bit of water, but you don't realize that that water is fixing to flow and spring up into everlasting life. It's going to keep going up, 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 and then it's going to flow out. And then you're going to say, my God, I just thought I had a little cup, a little bucket. You don't have a bucket. Your cup runneth over. But how can you do that? I'm on Patmos. I'm in the wilderness. I'm telling you, your joy can be abundant. Your blessing can be abundant. God will, I will make the wilderness a pool. You can accept it if you want to. You can be in your narrow mindset and you can think, well, there's just no way the covenant's powerful enough to handle this situation. I want you to know the covenant of Jesus Christ is just as powerful right now as it has ever been. If a leper can come to Jesus and said, if thou willst, thou can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. Hallelujah. Woo! And when He did, He activated every I will of Psalms, every I will of Isaiah. Pools of water, standing in the pool. Hallelujah. But the fourth word is springs. That means perpetual freshness. It's like a geyser. There's power in it flowing out of you. Not trickles. I'm talking about delighting yourself in the Lord. But I'm walking through a dry land. Everybody here that's worth their salt in the kingdom has walked through dry territory. Everybody has had dry spells. Everybody has had loss and suffering and pain in the wilderness and in the troubles of life. But I'm telling you that in the dry land, it's going to just start springing up. Now, a well, you got to dig it. A river, you can fish in it. But these springs, you got to sing to those springs. Because the Bible says, if you'll approach it with singing, He said, I'll break open the deep. And the deep will just flow out, and you'll just be walking along singing. Jesus has been so good to me. I am dry as toast. Hallelujah. I haven't felt your presence in forever, but I'm still walking with you, Jesus. I get out of the frying pan and into the fire. I make up these songs. don't go looking for this on the internet. It ain't there. I didn't research it on no internet. No, this is just what I sing to the Lord. I messed up, Jesus. But all of a sudden while I'm singing and I'm giving praise to God, He said, Brian, do you need me? Yes, I need you. And He said, I will. And it starts flowing out. My God, I feel like somebody ought to let the spring of water flow out of you. It ought to flow out of you with power and victory. Even when your tongue fails for thirst. Have you ever been so dry you can't say anything because your lips have frozen in place? and you just can't say anything. So all you can do is, can't do nothing else because I can't talk. Have you ever gotten to where you can't even pray? Where even if you do pray, it don't sound like it's doing anything. As a matter of fact, the more you pray, the more pain you get into. That's all right. You're not backslid because you're poor and needy and your tongue faileth for thirst. But I'm still seeking water. The key is, what are you looking for? If you're looking for another program, you came to the wrong place. But if you're looking for the Almighty God, if you're looking for the supernatural touch of the hand of God, you're in the right place. How many of you are going through a dry place right now? You can be seated. How many of you are going through a dry place right now? I want you to stand up because we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. You're just walking through a dry place. Now, this is the way God deals with me, okay? He may not deal with you like this, and I understand that, so don't take it personal. I'm just going to tell you that when I walk through a dry place, God talks to me about me. He don't ever come to me and say, this is the reason why Dennis is going through his dry place. I wished he would, because it would get him off my back for a while. But he never does that. He always talks to me about me. And say, do this, do that, do the other, approach me. Your joy is not working. You're not singing. You're not praising. But remember, if you're seeking water, then you're bringing the right attitude to the table. Because nobody wants to feed somebody that's already full and not hungry. You don't want to prepare a big old meal and then somebody sit down and say, well, I've already ate all of these donuts and I just don't feel like eating. Just tell that to your wife one time and see if you live to talk about it. When they cook, they want you to be hungry. They want you to eat it. They want you to enjoy it. They want you to delight in it. And God has set this table, and if you bring to the table this knee right here, springs, he said, I will open. I will bless. I will strengthen you. I will heal you. I will deliver you. Now, saints, those of you that are sitting around them, I want you to lay hands on them right now. Even if you can't pray, it's all right. Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. God will not despise the poor and needy. He doesn't want your self-sufficiency or your superiority or your pride or you got it together or you want to hide. He wants to know you got a need. He wants to know you got an issue because there is nothing that my God cannot do. Nothing. When you seek water and there is none, God says, I will do it. I will do it. The rivers from the high place, the wells in the valley, the pools in the wilderness, and the springs in a dry place. And God said, I will.
Now you pray. I feel the water about to flow into your life. You need to walk with the assurance. Not that I'm encouraging you or motivating you, but he said it in covenant, in counsel of old. I will. Jesus spoke it into existence.
We hope that you enjoyed this podcast, and if you did, please subscribe so you don't miss another message. Please connect with us if you have any questions. We would be delighted to hear from you, and we can be found at firstpent.org. That is firstpent.org, and we certainly hope that you will visit us soon. Be blessed in Jesus' name.